It's wonderful. And God is so good to us. And God is so merciful to us. So we thank the Lord today for salvation, that we can be sheltered in storms of life, that we can have a foundation, and that the Lord our God has mighty arms, mighty arms. I'd like for us today to kind of look back into the Word of the Lord and maybe reminisce a little bit, if that'd be a good word, with Paul and Timothy. And think about what Paul wrote to a very dear person in his life in 2 Timothy. And having not been there, we don't know all the circumstances, but it seems like Timothy was a valiant warrior of the cross, and someone that God used mightily, and someone that was evidently very tender and very special to the Apostle Paul. And he had a deep interest in his welfare. So I suppose down toward the end of Paul's life, and if this book is one of the latter books, Paul wrote Timothy a letter. And I don't know, I cannot tell you for sure, but it seems like to me when I read the first chapter especially, the first 6 or 8 verses of 2 Timothy, it seems like he kind of caught Timothy at a low time. Now, if I'm wrong, I hope history will forgive me of that. But you know, sometimes we get caught at low times. Sometimes we get caught when we're not really way up there on the mountain. And sometimes the storms that we heard about today, they've kind of blistered us. And our faith is a little shaken. And the enemy comes around and wants to make a little inroads in our life and kind of tell us things that are not altogether true, but that storm has kind of whacked on us a little bit and we're almost tempted to listen at times. Sometimes we battle and we don't see the results that we want to. Ministers have to be real careful here. Sometimes ministry feels like God has given him certain burdens and certain things to teach to the saints and to the people. Well, we got to remember they didn't always hear Jesus either. But sometimes the ministry can get a little down because we feel like God has given us such a burden along a certain line and the response is not there. But we have to leave that to the Lord. In raising children sometimes, can't you get a little down sometimes? Those children are growing up faster than you want them to, and then you kind of reflect back on a mistake or two you made, and that child is pretty well grown and out of the nest, and you wish you could pull it back and say, sit down, I got some more to tell you, and we feel a little despondent sometimes. Life has a way of kind of applying a little pressure to us. I'll say it that way. Well, I'm not sure, maybe I'm saying this wrong with Timothy, but it seems like Paul wrote him a letter in the twilight of his years, of Paul's years, as an encouragement to stir up Timothy, to remind him of his heritage, to remind him of what had been afforded him, and for Timothy just to press right on, just to go right on. I'd like to take a few of the words that Paul used to Timothy and speak them to us today. That we accept the exhortation of the Lord in our life, in the trying scenes, in the scenes that are not always the ones that we would have designed or drawn for ourselves, in the face of hostilities in a world that is pretty much against holiness and righteousness, that you and I would have the spiritual courage to go right on and not be moved by the assault or the infringement sometimes almost of the world, that when life does not go exactly to your pattern or mine, that we not blame God or charge God, but that we just gird up the loins of our mind and continue right on. That our eyes be opened, that we see Jesus, that we see the end of this thing, that we not look at the middle ground and say, oh, look what's going on, but let you and me look right on past and see the end of this thing. Let's see you and me and the saints of God gathered around that throne eternal. Let's see heaven. Let's see the beauty and the glory that awaits us. And let's not let anything intervene and deprive us of what awaits us. Let's look in 2 Timothy a little bit and see what Paul wrote. In a way, you might consider this a little legacy Paul was leaving Timothy, because you might think, well, if this was the last letter he wrote, or last one to Timothy anyway, I'm sure it was very dear in the years to come to Timothy. Let's let some of these words be dear to us. He said to you and me, and to Timothy in particular, first of all, let's go over here in 2 Timothy 4 and 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Timothy, I'm leaving. Now, that wasn't probably what Timothy wanted to hear altogether. They didn't have email, and they didn't have express mail in those days. And I suppose mail went by horse and buggy over the trails or by ship across the Mediterranean. Took a while. I'm sure, though, in the course of time that Timothy and Paul corresponded some way. I just have to think that happened. And for Paul to say, I'm leaving, kind of matter-of-factly, but he said, I'm leaving. I wonder what went through Timothy's mind at that precise time. Now, I believe he said something about a little later on, do your diligence to come to me. I wonder if Timothy started getting things in order that he could just get right on over there if Paul was going to be departing pretty soon. So he probably started making plans. So this was the scene that this letter was written in, perhaps. Timothy, I'm leaving. But in the meantime, Timothy, you've got life to live. Saints, we've got life to live. In the meantime, Timothy, you've got a ministry to take care of. Saints, we have a ministry to take care of. We have children to raise. We have friends and families. We have a mission that we heard about last night from God to go forward. Some are leaving. Paul left. But he left some words to Timothy, and he leaves them to you and me. He was leaving, but you're here, Timothy, and I want you to fight that good fight. I want you to press on. I want you to continue on. Saints, that's what God wants you and me, in the face of adversity, to go on. Well, to do that, we've got to be willing to take some advice. We are in the land of the living, and living is not always conducive to everything we want. And we meet trials, and we meet tests, and people do not always behave themselves the way they should, and we look around us, and, you know, folks, I'm convinced if we get looking around too much at things around us, we can get a little discouraged and get a little depressed. You know, life can be that to us if we start looking upon the things that go against us or conflict with us or do not meet our expectations. We can get depressed over it. Well, we won't keep our eyes higher than that, but I know this, I'm human. Sometimes I feel a little depressed. What's the answer? Let's listen to what Paul said to Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy 1, he gave some things about Timothy's lineage. And then he said in the 6th verse, and we just hit some notes here, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. Timothy, I want you to remember your stock. I want you to remember my prayers for you, and I want you to remember the gift that was given to you. And Timothy, I want you to stir up the gift of God that is in you. To God, to us today, we say the same thing, and the Lord says that. Remember who we are. Remember who called us. Remember who saved us. Remember the promises, and remember the heaven. Remember the glory. And remember the place we came from and where we might have been. And how God in His mercy bestowed the gift of eternal life on us. Now He's talking primarily here, I'm sure, about Timothy's ministry. But I'm saying to us today, God has given us a precious gift. And Satan would want to diminish the glory of it, the beauty of it, the spectacularness of it. Satan would love to take away the power of it and the strength of it. And sometimes you and me just need to get alone with the Lord and get the Bible in our prayer closet and start praising the Lord and asking Him for a good stirring up in our soul. We need to pay attention to the preached word and be stirred up in our soul. We need that gift, this eternal gift of salvation and its glory to be stirred up, that we are the saints in light, that we are the redeemed of the Lord. I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. And stir it up. And the beauty of it, the glory of it, Do you remember when you were first enlightened, when you were first saved? Do you remember the joy? Why? Where does it say that joy has to be diminished? Where does it say the fervency of your prayers has to go down because the world doesn't agree with us? So he said to Timothy, and I'm having to speculate on some of the atmosphere in Timothy's mind and at the situation that was going on at that time in Timothy's mind. But I see Timothy getting a letter from Paul, and he starts to read it. And I don't know, I don't guess he skipped over to the end first, but he did get there. And this was Paul's exhortation to him. I'm getting ready to leave here, but that doesn't have to mean the blues for you. Timothy, stir it up. Saints, let you and I stir it up. You know, sometimes you get some juice. I know we drink some orange juice there at the house sometimes, and it's concentrated, and you pour it in there and mix your three containers of water in it and stir it all up and get orange juice. You come back the next morning, and it's about half and half. It's half the concentrate's done settle down, and the top, you got to stir it up again. I think about my soul and your soul. We don't want to get settled. We don't want to just get so at ease in Zion. We don't want to get so cavalier with the Lord. We want to realize the gift He's given us is precious, and we want to take real special care of it. So some of the last things that Timothy heard from Paul by letter was, stir up the gift. And you know what he's directing it to? He was directing it to Timothy. He didn't say, I'm going to come over there, or go get Titus and let him stir it up. He didn't say, now Jesus is going to come down and stir it up. But he said, you recognize your need of being stirred up. Saints, let's you and me recognize our needs of being stirred up in the Lord. We've got a real enemy out there. He really hates us. He really wants to kill us. He really wants to take your joy. He doesn't care if you got gray hair, or if you got brown hair, or black hair, or blonde hair. He doesn't care if you hadn't got any hair. He wants your soul. He doesn't care if you're 10 years old or 110 years old. He wants your soul, and He'll steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your vision. Stir up, stir up, stir up. Awake, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments. That's what He cries out to us as the church of God. We have something to be so thankful for and to treasure it so. And we're in life, and life pressurizes us, puts us in the cooker sometimes. And let's not be discouraged. What's the word? Be not something in well-doing. Be not weary, thank you, in well-doing. Sometimes we get weary, folks. You're trying and you're trying. You know what God says? Try again. Lord, help us to be stirred up. I would that our vision would be increased today of who we are, where God has brought us from, and what He's done for us. The prayers that were prayed for us. The work that went in to make you and me saints. Yes, work. The work of the cross. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The act of grace that was extended to us. We have received it now. Let's not receive it in vain. And Paul said to Timothy, just stir it up. Just sometimes get alone with the Lord, your companion or whatever, and just start talking about what the Lord has done. Where you might have been. And what God has saved you from and what He's delivered you from. The innocency and the purity. Oh, thank God for that. Well, he went on and talked some more. In the 13th verse of that same chapter, he said, hold fast. That's the little thought we have now. Hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He said, Timothy, there's going to be a lot of vain babbling going around you. Saints, there's a lot of vain babbling going around us. There's a lot of confusion out there of words and science, falsely so-called. There's a lot of vain philosophy out there that wars against your mind. And it's not very sound at all. And it's extremely unstable. And they'll come up with a teaching today, and 2 weeks from now they'll refute it. And a psychologist will say, this is normal today, and a little while later, no, that's really not normal after all. The world around us, the secular world, the denominational world, is putting out poison on a very regular basis, calling evil good and good evil. Changing, very unsound, very unstable, like waves upon the ocean. Timothy, listen, it's going to go around you too. Those doctrines are doctrines of the Antichrist that were, John wrote, was already there. Timothy, there is work in your life too. Timothy, there is a soundness. There is a firm foundation. There is an anchor. Timothy, get a hold of that and don't turn loose of it. Saints, let you and me get a hold to Jesus Christ, the only foundation that any man can lay. And let's lay hold of that eternal life. Let's lay hold of that foundation. Let's lay hold of that anchor. Get that anchor in our hearts. He said this to Timothy. Would he not say it to us? You know, the communication process was very slow in those days compared to ours. Today it's instantaneous. And I don't imagine Timothy knew what the people in other parts of the world outside the Roman Empire were teaching. He didn't even probably know about it. So he wasn't even attacked maybe by what they were teaching in further down in Africa. Or maybe up in England, whatever it was called at that time. He wasn't even affected by that. But now you and me, once some philosophy comes out, it's on the airways and in the newspaper instantaneously. We are bombarded by that. Unsoundness. Unsoundness of the men's minds who teach us that evil is good and good is evil. That morality is subjective to the individual. That there are no true holy standards of conduct, that God is a myth, that God is subject to whatever you want God to be. You can even become a God in yourself. And God help us to lay hold of the soundness of the truth of God's Word. Young people, don't be moved away from the soundness. It will be there. It will protect you. It will hold you. It will save you. And it will keep you. And it'll bring you into a chaste and a holy marriage. It'll keep your virtue intact. It'll keep your soul intact. And Paul said, oh, Timothy, I want you to hold on to that sound words. You know the words of God are immutable. His promises are unchanging. They reach right down to you and me today. Let's grasp it. Let's stir it up. Let's stir it up. Get a big old stick down there and stir it up. You know, sometimes you go up to the pot of stew and you look and all you see is a few potatoes floating around on the pot. And juice. But you want some meat. Where are you going to get the meat? Take that ladle and you kind of scoop it down there a couple of times and a big old piece of roast comes floating up. That's what I'm looking for. And we stir it up. You know, we're so careful with our human bodies. We'll go to some trouble to stir up that pot to get a little whatever down there we want. God help us to be more interested in our souls. That if I find that all I am drinking is the wine watered down, that I'll get in there and I'll shake some things up. Amen. Care enough for your soul to do that. Care enough for your experience to do that. Care enough to let God chasten you. Care enough to say, Lord, stir me up. Chasten me, Lord. Correct me, Lord. Put your word, your spirit down in me and just shake me loose from any complacency, any depression I may be having. Folks, we sometimes stay around in things that God never intended us to stay in. Those storms that Brother Donald talked about, many times I agree they are sent to shake us and get us to get some things out of our life. Paul said, forgetting those things that are past and press on. I want to encourage us all today to get a hold of some sound words and don't let go. And don't let go. Because I'll tell you what, they'll stand by you, they'll support you, they'll defend you through all the thick and thin of life. And when you stand at that very threshold of glory, wanting so much to go on in, those words will be right there with you and they'll take you right on in. God help us to lay hold of sound words. Down in the second chapter of this book, he said something else to Timothy. Something that you and I need to get a hold to. He said, endure hardness. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You ever thought about yourself as being someone that's a soldier? Timothy was a minister, and Timothy had special burdens and special callings, evidently. And he addressed him as a soldier, someone with a mission. Do you know that we are ambassadors for Christ? Do you know that we are epistles known and read of all men? Do you know that our life portrays what Christ is? And when you and I profess Christianity, that we are saying, this is the way Christ is. That's a big one, isn't it? That's a challenge, isn't it? But you're the body of Christ, saints. And when I tell someone that I'm a Christian and I love Jesus, in essence, I'm saying this is how Christ would act in this same situation. Sometimes you and I have to endure some things. And sometimes you and I have to pray for more grace and humility that we might be able to stay right where God put us or called us and not flinch, not look back, and not run, and not get ahead of ourselves. Brother Leslie taught us the other night over at the school graduation about wait upon the Lord. You know, a good soldier will wait. A good soldier will stay right there. God help us to be that good soldier in the cross. He said to do it, we've got to endure some hardness. And yes, life will present us some hard things. But Peter said it so well. Jesus said, well, will you go away? He said, well, where will we go? You have the word of eternal life. Folks, if you give up in the battle, where are you going? If you give up in the hard place, where are you going? If you give up in the temptation, where else are you going to find peace like a river? Where else are you going to find joy beyond all utterance? Where are you going to find an unchanging God? Anywhere else but in the presence of the Almighty One. He said, Lord, where will we go? Where will you go, saints, if something happens and you say no more? What if we say I won't endure hardness anymore? What if we say the doctrines of the Church of God are not for me? What if we start laying down these things? And yes, they'll cut across the flesh. And yes, you'll make sacrifices. And yes, you will see things have to go out of your life that God calls for, that the flesh says, I want to keep. But if you keep them, if you don't endure the hardness, if you give in, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? There's nowhere else. He wrote in Hebrews, there remaineth therefore no more sacrifice for sin. There is no other sacrifice than the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other sacrifice available for mankind. We cannot plead any other thing. We cannot plead the law. We cannot plead our good works. We cannot plead anything but the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we plead that and He saves us and we become crucified to this flesh, we have to start enduring hardness as a good soldier. But the victory is ours. Songwriter said, I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side with Jesus. So he said, Timothy, stick in there. Stick in there. Timothy, you can give up, but where are you going to go? I know he didn't say that. But you can give up, Timothy, but where are you going? He said, just endure that hardness. And I never minimize a hard place. My hard place may not be hard to you and vice versa, but they're hard to the individual going through it. You and I can look on someone else's hard place and say, that doesn't seem too bad to me, but I will tell you, folks, it's hard to them. People that are not afraid of heights cannot understand by the standard I want to climb a telephone pole. But it's a hard place for me. I won't do it. You'd probably have to threaten me some way to get me trapped. It's to you, if you can climb one and you don't have any trouble, you think, well, that's what's so bad about a telephone call. Folks, it'd be hard for you. And that's just one thing. You know, some of us, and I use this collectively, we have areas that we're strong in the faith and weaker in the faith. You know, some people can maybe trust God for their healing a little. Is easier or better was a good way to say. I don't know if that's a good word. But they can do it, it seems like, with less stress. Whereas another one has a little more trouble. One can say, okay, I'm going to take off my necktie. When I got saved and saints didn't wear neckties, it just didn't bother me at all. It really didn't. And that's no great virtue on my part. It just wasn't a trial to me. But I know people that have had some struggle with that. There are hard places. There are hard places. There are things we give up for the gospel. Young people, if you're here today, you may not see it right now. But you stay in that hard place and let the Lord deliver you and teach you and understand that. And He'll bring you out into a wealthy place. So Lord, help us to, He said to us, to endure hardness. Endure hardness. Let me regress on Scripture here. Well, no, let me go down to the fourth one. He said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I want to caution us. Now, I'm not telling you not to have a job, and I'm not telling you to have recreation. So let's clear that slate right quick. But the Bible said not to get so entangled with that, that we lose our vision of our mission and our purpose is to be called the saints of God. That we not get so tangled up in living that we forget the service of God. Let's not get so tangled up in our life, our work, our hobbies, our recreation, our talents, that we lose focus of what we're really here for. We're here to serve the Lord. We're here to be a light unto the world. We are here to be a city set on a hill. We are here to be called out and separate. We're not to go out and get our lives all tangled up with the cares of this life. He told about that when the seed fell and then the cares of this life just rooted it right out. So he says to Timothy, be real careful, Timothy. You've got a holy calling. You've got a wonderful gift. Saints, we've got a gift. Let's be careful with our labors. Let's be careful. Obviously, you have to have a job, and there's nothing wrong with being a success at it. I'm not implying that at all. But put it down below serving God. Don't put it above. It troubles me when people say, I had to work. I couldn't come to service. I had to work. I couldn't help at a certain time. Or I couldn't do this because I had to work. Now, let me clarify this, lest someone misunderstands me. That happens to us all. We all have those times, okay? But if that little statement gets to be a habit, you better check and see if you're getting entangled. You better check. I'm not telling you that I haven't used that excuse or that reasoning either. Sure, there's been times when I couldn't do something because of work or because of obligations. But listen, when these excuses start becoming pretty obvious. Every time something's going on, or every time I have an opportunity to worship the Lord or do something for the Lord, I have family prayer with the family, and invariably that excuse, well, I'm in a hurry now, I haven't got time, or I've got to go to work, we're getting maybe too entangled. Yes, there's time will come when you'll have to say, I'm sorry, I've got this job I've got to complete. And I'm not saying that won't happen. But he said don't get entangled with that philosophy. Don't get entangled with that reasoning. And if you find your work, if I find my work, if I find our hobbies, our interests, whatever, interfering with our mission as Christians, folks, we better reevaluate. We better reevaluate. Go back up to the first verse of that chapter. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Yes. That one thing we cannot do without. Is grace. That is the favor of God to us. That is God within us. That is God giving us strength and help. And he said to Timothy, be strong in that. Lord, help us to just accept the grace of God as all-powerful, all-wise, able to do more and abundantly above that which we ask or think. Let's really believe this when we believe in the grace of God. And let's just be strong in it. Let's face our enemies strong in grace. Having the grace in our heart. And when we find ourselves weak, apply for more. He said he giveth more grace. Grace on top of grace. Where grace sin abounded, sin, grace doth much more abound. Promises to you and me. You know there's no excuse for failure. There's no excuse for saying yes to the devil. There's no place that you'll say, see in the Bible now under the New Testament dispensation, that he says it's okay to backslide. It's okay to give in to the devil. Grace is more abounding. Those excuses that the flesh comes up with, that reasoning to put off modesty and take on immodesty, there's no excuse for that. He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. God, help us to be strong in the grace of the living God. It is so wonderful. Admire grace. Admire it. When you look upon the world, which we all had our conversations in, and you see them running helter-skelter at the bidding of this God of this world, admire the grace that God's given you. Just kind of stand back and stand in awe. Lord, your grace is keeping me from that excess. Your grace is keeping me from that double marriage. Your grace is keeping me from that sinful world. Your grace is keeping me from all the ites of the land. God, help us to admire grace. Admire it. Say, this is good. Admire it. And I don't know. He said, be strong in it. Let's use it. Let's use it. When the old enemy comes around, let's use grace. Let's don't just say, oh, I really would like to do it anyway, and I'm going to make an excuse for the flesh. Young people, all of us, let's use the grace God gives us. One of these days, we're going to stand before Him. And what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Isn't it worth it to use grace now? The things of this life, you know, the things God asks us to put off. If we could really see how trivial they are. Really they are. Yet the flesh sometimes can love them. And you know them things that we put off, a lot of times start in our heart and they start in our mind. They're an opinion. They're an idea. They're something that we've conjured up. Something that's been put in our minds by the old accuser or the brethren. And we just hang on to it and hang on to it and hang on to it. And God says, won't you get strong in grace and get rid of that thing? God help us. He went on. In that same chapter, in the 5th and the 15th and the 16th verse, he said, study to show thyself approved. I'd like to encourage us today to apply ourselves more. Apply yourself. When you find the enemy raging, don't run from that and run and hide from God and the enemy, but start digging into the Word of God. What does the Lord say? What does the Lord, the Bible, teach? What is the standard of holiness in this area? When I'm assaulted by Satan, when life assaults me, when the temptations come, when trials come, when things that happen that hurt me and discourage me and break my heart, run to Him and study. Find out what Jesus has to say. Here's what He was saying to Timothy. Timothy, I'm leaving. I'm leaving, Timothy. I got to get out of here. But Timothy, these are some things I want to impart to you. This will be part of your heritage. This will be part of the things that you can remember and draw from. And one of them, he said, Timothy, study. Apply yourself. If you're going to be a craftsman at serving God, then you study the work. You study the labors of Christ. You study the Word of God. You pray to God and you allow His Spirit to have entrance into. Do you want to be a good soldier? Saints, we got to study how to be a good soldier. We've got to find out how to be a good soldier. We've got to apply ourselves to being a good soldier. It doesn't come by, well, I'm going to save you, and now you're going to be this great, wonderful worker for me. You're going to be a pillar in the church of God. It doesn't happen that way. You have to apply. We have to put ourselves into the labor. Young people, apply yourself. Just jump right on into the river. Go swimming with Jesus. He invites us to go and swim with Him. But we have to do it. These things that he is telling Timothy, there's not things God just don't automatically pour out on Timothy. They are taking responsibility for Timothy. Rather, Timothy has to take responsibility for them. God help us today. You want to know how a good soldier? Study. You admire it, don't you? Those valiant warriors of the cross, those heroes of faith, don't we admire them? And don't we sometimes wish we were like them? Well, we can be. But you got to study. You got to apply yourself. You got to put yourself in that position that God's blessings can come pour out. You've got to start being faithful in the little things. And then as you're faithful in the little things, God will start saying, here's some more. Here's some more. And you can become a pillar in the church of God. But it doesn't happen just because, well, that'd be nice. Be respected and thought of. Be an elder. Mother in Israel. No, it comes by applying oneself. And then he said, shun. God help us here. Not just anything, but profane and vain babbling. Now that's a good one for us all from time to time. Has the old babble bug ever come by your door? Has he ever come across your lips? You don't have to answer that. Vain babbling is babbling or talking that has no essence of Christ. It's empty. And when it's said and done, it does not promote morality or spirituality, but on the contrary, it does not edify a soul. It does not edify someone's reputation. It does not edify the work of the Lord. It does not edify the work of the ministry, but it takes away from it. It tears it down. It's empty. In a sense, it's vain in that way, but in another sense, it is not vain in that it carries with it a lethal injection that will slay a minister, that will slay a worker for Christ, that will tear a home down, a congregation apart. He said, absolutely shun that thing. Don't even give it, you know, if it asks you the time of day, say, get away from it. Shut it. Ignore it. Stay away from it. He said, shun profane and vain, profane. That which does damage to the holy. That which casts down. You know, in the time the children of Israel were, was it Babylon where they were captive? Was it Nebuchadnezzar? Or his grandson won? We'll have this big feast. Seemed like the Lord was letting them have a feast. But after a while, they got all drunk. I guess they really got pretty big, pretty important. Really thinking a lot of themselves. And what did they do? They called for the vessels that came out of the temple in Jerusalem. Well, now, God doesn't say this, but I got a feeling in my mind that was the last straw. He done looked on them fellas and looked on them and their actions. And he started taking those holy vessels that were sacred unto the Lord. And he started pouring that old wine and babbling in them. Started passing them around and started profaning those holy things. I don't know if that was the last straw or not, but that's the way the story kind of goes. And in that handwriting on the wall, the knees started trembling, knocking together. Fear come over them. Why? Because God had looked down and they had profaned something sacred and holy. God help us. Profane things. Just stay away from it. If our words, saints, don't minister grace, then hush. Just hush. If they are vain and empty and do not promote, then leave it alone. We got to do that. And that's what he was saying to him. There was all kind of old strange doctrines that maybe you and I couldn't even equate to at this time that went around. And Paul was saying to Timothy, get away from that. Get away from it. God help us to get away from it. Stay away from profane and vain babbling. He went on, 3 and 14 and 15. But continue, rather, and if I can say it this way, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in which is in Christ Jesus. He said, for you and me and Timothy to continue. Not stop. One place he told Moses, tell my people to go forward. He didn't say retreat. You know, the armor of the Lord gives us, I know you've heard it explained this way, I have anyway, I'm sure you have. Nothing for the back. Nothing for the back. The songwriter said, face the legions dark before you. Continue, saints. Satan would love to have you turn around, to sit down, or to lay down. He would have had Timothy say, it's too much pressure, too much against me. No one's listening. It doesn't seem like anybody has the vision. It's too much. But the Lord said to Timothy, continue on in the things you've heard of me, things you've learned of Paul, the things he has taught you, the things that you have been assured of and you've seen them work. Remember them, Timothy, remember them. God wants you and me, saints, to continue. And again, I remind us, where else will we go? There's nothing but regression. We can't continue on any other way. Christ said that they that climb up any other way are a thief and a robber. You could join sectism, they're thieves and there's robbers, and they're trying to climb up some other way. Satan is trying to implement another standard, another truth, another way. But there are thieves and there are robbers in that. We've got to continue on with Jesus. Let's us do that. He told Timothy in the fourth chapter, in the second verse, preach the word. Saints, we've got to preach the word unapologetic. You say, I'm not a preacher. Well, yes, you are. You have a testimony, don't you? Your neighbors know you're a Christian, don't you? Don't they? That your children in school, their mates know that your schoolmates, they know that that your children's mama and daddy are Christians. We live in a time when compromise is a virtue. But it's not in Christianity. It's not in the ways of the Lord. Don't compromise the standard. Don't make leagues with the devil. Don't allow him to pour water into the wine. But let's preach the word. Let's stay with what Jesus said. Let's preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. Study to show yourselves approved, that when that old enemy comes around and knocks on your door, you'll have something to give him. Years ago, my mother, some Jehovah's Witnesses came to my mama's house, daddy's house. And she told me about it because I was too little to remember. They knocked on the door and she recognized who they were. And she said, well, come in. I've been expecting you. And I guess they were taken aback by it. And you've been expecting us? Yes, yes, my Bible said you're coming. You know, the wolves in sheep's clothing? Let's have something to give the gainsayer. Let's have something to give that man or that woman that is in trouble. That mother that's thinking about the abortion. That lady that has drugs we heard about last night, that not willing to reach out and accept help or face reality. That friend of yours who's despondent and kind of looking to you for guidance. Don't compromise. Show them love and mercy and all the grace you can, but be honest with their souls. Preach the word. Tell them what the Lord said and tell them running around itching ears and heaping themselves together, teachers, and, oh, tell us what we want to hear, etc. Shun them. Get away from them. That's profane babble. That's racket. That racket will destroy you, saints. Young people, that racket of babbling out there will get you. It'll get you. He was wise when he said to shun it. But then he said to us, preach the word. You older folks, you got grandchildren, preach the word. Don't compromise. When that daughter and son of yours wants to trust the Lord for the healing of that little child, you get right in there with them and support them. You know, grandmas and grandpas, we're fragile sometimes. We're fragile. Because we see that little grandbaby and, Lord, help us now. We trusted the Lord for our children. And God blessed and God healed. Now our little grandbabies are getting sick. Let's get right in there with that mama and that daddy and say, come on, we're going to pray with you. Preach the word. Don't let up just because it's your grandbaby. Tender place in our heart. Real tender place.
Amazing how God works all that out. But he said, preach the word. When your sons and your daughters get older and they want to experiment, tell them what the Bible said. Teach the word to them. God help us. He said, preach the word. And then lastly, he said, Timothy, watch thou in all things. Just be real careful. Did you know what Jesus said in one place? But what I say unto you, I say unto all. What was that word? Watch. Why? For a lot of reasons. There's an enemy out there. And he's cunning, subtle, powerful, diabolical. He hates you. He hates your children. He wants to take you to hell because he's going there. He wants to adulterate truth and have you believe a lie. And he'll do it. Oh, yes, 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 he will. Without the grace of God, he'll do it, saints. So, Timothy, you watch. You just watch. You be real careful with your life and your experience. Endure affliction. You're going to have to endure again. There's going to be some times that you're going to have a headache. Just get up and go on to the Lord. Press against the foe. Saints, let you and me watch. There's another aspect of watching that maybe Paul may or may not have had in mind here. But let's watch Jesus. Let's just watch him. Go where he goes. Act like he acts. Keep our eyes on him. And the things of this life, they'll grow dimmer and dimmer. Appreciate Jesus. Appreciate who he is. Appreciate his holiness and his righteousness. Appreciate the virtue of cleanliness. Appreciate the robes of righteousness. Watch Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And oh, listen, you just keep doing that. And in all the seasons of your life, the good seasons, you might call them, and the bad seasons, you'll bring forth fruit. You'll be like a tree planted by the water. Your roots will run out into that river of life, and right in the midst of a sore temptation, you'll have a beautiful peach growing on your tree, or a lovely apple. Someone can come by and see you in that trial, and they'll take a deep breath, and they'll smell Jesus Christ. They'll have a fragrance of peace there. And it'll be something they can admire and hopefully want for themselves. Saints, let's take these little words that Paul said. Let's watch. Let's endure affliction. Let's be strong and hold fast, and above all, let's stir up. Woe to them that are eased in Zion. Stir up. Stir up. Allow the gospel plow to get right in there where you live. Right down to what you're thinking about. Right down into what hurts you. Right down into what aggravates you. Right down into what tempts you. Let the gospel plow just get right in there. There was a place over in, this is our closing scripture, in 2 Corinthians. I had this little thought one night at prayer meeting before we left Four Corners, and it just stood with me, and I may even have mentioned it here, I don't know, in 2 Corinthians 8 and 16. I just love this, and I thought, Lord, please help Stanley, please help him. Titus had been exhorted by Paul, and listen to what he says, 16th verse of the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians. But thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you, for indeed he accepted the exhortation. I want to tell you something. That is a character that we want more of in our characteristic we want more of in our life. Have you ever noticed how we put up the defenses? And you remember what it says, or see what it says here? When it came around, Titus just accepted it as the truth and he went forth. I like to think that of Timothy when he got this letter. He accepted the exhortation. God help us. As Christ exhorts us, let's accept it. Let's don't argue with it. Let's just believe his word is true. Okay. That was that, not me. Let's accept the exhortation. Let's accept it. That was a virtue. That is a quality that God admired, I believe. We'll end that. But let's accept the exhortation. Let's accept what God would come and challenge us on. Let's accept what God comes to reveal to us. And he would stir us up. Folks, let's just accept it. Let's don't be stiff-necked and uncircumcised, but let's just accept it. And you know what? Sister Lizzie Jordan says one of these days he's going to come busting through them clouds as never before. He is. And he's going to come back after a pure, holy, righteous, chaste church. That's all he's going to take back to heaven with him, to be his bride through the ageless eternities. It's going to be worth it, saints. Whatever we lay aside, whatever stirring up, whatever hardness we have to endure, oh, listen, we're going to just be over this life so soon anyway. Amen.